Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. Hope everyone's having a good week so far. It's Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. here on the East Coast in New York, and we've had a pretty nice week so far. Things have calmed down a little bit temperature-wise, and hopefully we'll have a good weekend, better than the torrential downpour that we saw over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. A little crazy weather. But, you know, it's summertime. It gets hot. But hopefully, like I said, everyone, you know, enjoys another good weekend and have a good work week. Joining me tonight, back on the show for part 11 now of the extended series, is Dr. Linda Groff. Linda, welcome back to the show.
Hi. How are you, Rob? Yeah.
Doing great, thank you. Great. How about yourself?
I'm good.
Yeah. All right, good. So, Linda, listen, what challenging thoughts are you going to describe tonight and talk about tonight with our audience?
Okay, well, this topic is one I love to talk about. It's a fun one, which is the hero's journey, which comes from Joseph Campbell studying mythologies of the world, but the subtitle is Gaining Wisdom on Life's Journey. So the hero's journey is something he studied many cultures, and there was a famous television series called The Power of Myth some time ago where Bill Moyer interviewed Joseph Campbell. But Joseph Campbell inspired a lot of, you know, Hollywood people, including Star Wars and various things, with this idea about the hero's journey. So I'm going to give you some ideas about what is the hero's journey and different versions of it, and how it has to change over different times to be updated to the time you live in, and some differences in hero's journey, Eastern and Western cultures, and maybe male, female, and so on. And then we can talk about, you know, how does it, everyone maybe can apply the hero's journey and see how it applies in their own life, which is the fun part. Yeah. So, okay. So, anyway, there was this, Joseph Campbell wrote a famous book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And then he was later interviewed before he passed away by Bill Moyer on public television on a series of programs called The Power of Myth. And I think it was a 6-part series on public television. And in it, he wrote a lot of different books and so on. But what he discovered by reading mythologies of many different cultures is that there is what he calls a common monomyth, which he called the hero's journey, that pops up as one form of mythology in all different countries. And that's what I want to talk about today, because once you life, you know, so it's kind of a nice little model about how to find some deeper meaning in your life. So anyway.
Absolutely.
So the first thing is to look at what is mythology, because that's what he was looking at, were the myths of different countries and cultures. And we tend in our modern era where we, you know, say science is really important and being rational and so on, we tend to say a myth is just something that's not true. But his whole life's work was about the fact that mythology provides a different type of truth from scientific factual truth, but it's also an important part of truth. And a lot of our modern culture, he felt we'd lost touch with the power of mythology in our lives. So basically, he was trying to bring it back. And it is true that there's a whole lot of Hollywood films, for example, that are based really on a hero's journey. So it is still, you know, it's definitely still there. there's different versions of the hero's journey. But it's also about how you embark on a journey and leave your familiar world behind and go out to find out, you know, be tested and find out who you really are and gain some wisdom in the process that you can bring back to others and share. It's kind of a quick overview. There's a 3-stage version, a 5-stage version of the hero's journey, and there's even a 12-stage version that some people who are like script writers in Hollywood use. And there's different people who teach this about how to write scripts and so on. The version that I'm most familiar with and have used is this 5-stage version, which is what I'm going to talk about now. But these 5 stages are the following, and sometimes they combine the first 3 together, and then it's a 3-stage version. But the first one is basically you're kind of restless and you're looking for some adventure in your life, and you just don't find your current situation too exciting, you know, so you're looking for something else. You want some growth in your life. And then eventually something has to happen so there's nothing holding you anymore to your current situation. And then you have to go and find a mentor or teacher to guide you on your journey, somebody who's older and wiser and, you know, can guide you on your journey. And then there has to be like a jumping off place into the unknown where you leave your familiar world behind and you go off into the unknown, whatever it is, to be tested. And then you have to be tested in the unknown. And when you're tested on the outside as well as your inside. You know, every time you get tested on the outside, you're also going through changes on your inside. So they're quite interconnected, I think. And then finally, if you pass, then you can come back home and share the wisdom and that you gained on that journey with others. So that's kind of a 5-stage model of the hero's journey. And it's something that most people can see versions of it in their own life, either small versions, sometimes a really big version, you know, it depends. But to become aware of this, you know, it sort of gives you kind of a structure to look at your own life sometimes. And so there's some differences in the hero's journey in Eastern and Western cultures and also in different historical periods and so on, which I can go through. But then I want to show how somebody who was a really good friend of George Lucas was George Lucas is a very good friend of Joseph Campbell. And so the whole Star Wars trilogy, the original one, the 3-part one, is really totally based on the hero's journey. So, which is kind of cool. And then when you see it, you see it's also in a lot of like Hollywood films and movies and stories and so on. So it's really about getting in touch with some deeper archetypal truth. And the idea is you have these deeper archetypes like Carl Jung talked about too as a psychologist. But then in your own life experiences, you fill in the framework of those archetypes. That's kind of what Carl Jung said. But anyway, so let's look at maybe we can look a little bit at, before we go to Star Wars and so on. Well, maybe I'll just do Star Wars because it's kind of quite fun to see how it applies. But the first stage is you're restless and you... did you see Star Wars, by the way, all the original ones?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, then you'll recognize all this. So the first stage is you're restless and you're not, you know, totally happy with your situation. So you want some adventure. You want something to change in your life. And so do you recognize in Star Wars where that was with Luke Skywalker was living with his aunt and uncle, and they were farmers, and even his name, Skywalker, you know, he didn't really want to be a farmer. So he was, you know, he was restless and wanting something else in his life. But his aunt and uncle were taking care of him and wanted him to stay there. And then he went off and he ran into Obi-Wan Kenobi, who becomes then his mentor or teacher on the journey. And then he goes, so, you know, he's a more of a master and of the Force and so on, right, to teach him in the ways of the Force. And then he comes back. Eventually, to you know, after he meets Obi-Wan Kenobi, he comes back to his aunt and uncles, and they've been killed. Okay, so that's an example where there's nothing anymore holding him to that old situation. So he's free to go on his journey. And then the third stage of this 5-stage version is there has to be something symbolically as jumping off place into the unknown. So in Star Wars, there's a very famous scene where they show that, and I don't know if you remember, but there's like a famous bar scene. Solo, you know, has the Millennium Falcon starship, and they're going to respond to the message from Princess Leia and so on. But the thing is, there's a famous bar scene where there's all these aliens there from different alien species. And so the idea of the bar, that's an example where, you know, it's like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, and she says to her dog, Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. You know, so it's like suddenly you can see that your familiar world is being left behind, and you're moving off and jumping off into the unknown. So that's that famous bar scene. Do you remember that? I don't know if you do.
I do, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the 4th stage is you have to go off into the unknown and have all these tests and find out if you can pass them, and, you know, and you have to confront even, like, your own death and possible death and all kinds of things. And but you have to be, well, that's one version if you're the warrior, but I'll get to that in a minute. But you have to be tested and pass those tests. And then if you do, you gain wisdom through that whole process, and then you can bring that back to your fellow human beings to share with them, which is the fifth stage, is the return. So those are like the five stages. But if you looked at, we can come back later to some of these, you know, if you look at a lot of other films and stuff, you can see like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or The Wizard of Oz,
right.
You know, they all really have versions of the hero's journey in them. So I think
Absolutely.
It's a kind of standard, you know, Hollywood scriptwriters use the hero's journey lots of times for some of their script writing. So anyway, and then there's another famous thing that Joseph Campbell said. He said, follow your bliss. And so everybody said, good Lord, what does that mean? Like, what does he mean by that? But what he means is to listen to your own inner heart and what it's telling you your life is about. And not just to do what some authority figure tells you to do, you know. So it's like, you know, because then you can get into situations like Hitler or a tyrant or whatever, where you're following what they're telling you to do instead of your own inner voice about what your life is about. So that was another important part about the hero's journey. So anyway, let me go back and look at some of the, there's differences of the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell said, between Eastern and Western cultures. So I was in Japan for a year, another time 3 months, so I found this quite interesting. But in the East, you have to find a guru or master, and then you become like their apprentice, and you follow in the traditions that they pass down. But you don't divert from the form that they give you. You know, you just have to learn to master the form that your teacher or mentor passes down to you. And in Japan, it's interesting too, because you can't, in Japan, which is amazing for me to discover, is you don't ever ask your master why. Why do you do it this way? You just observe the form of the master and you try to imitate it and feel it in your own body. And if you're really lucky, at some point you may have, you know, developed some mastery about it. But, you know, but I can talk more about that after. But in the West, because we have individual identity, because in Japan, in the Eastern cultures, you have more group identity. So you follow the pattern that's been established in the past and passed down from generation to generation. Whereas in the West, you have to because you're an individual, you have to find your own pathway into the unknown. So the model for the Western hero's journey that Joseph Campbell said was King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, where every one of the knights had to jump off into the forest, which represented the unknown, in a place of their own choosing. And each individually, and they had to be tested on their own, and some make it and some don't, and so on. So it's a slightly different model based on Eastern Western cultures, which is interesting. In the Japanese model, you first, you know, you can find a master or so on, but you can have enthusiasm for something, but then you realize you need training and you need a master to give you that training and pass it down. And then if you're really lucky, you have a moment of grace where you and the form become one, and then you can just effortlessly do whatever, you know, thing you've learned from your master without, and it'll seem effortless, but it took many years often of training to get there. But anyway, so those are some East-West differences in the hero's journey. And then there's also historical periods, different periods of the hero's journey. And this is another really important point that Joseph Campbell said, is that every new age and era has but relevance. So the underlying, you know, those five stages I went through or the 12-stage version, whatever, those elements of the hero's journey are there in all cultures and all different time periods, but they have the outer form of that hero's journey has to be updated for each new age so that people see it as relevant to their life at that time, which is another important point. So he looked at it at four different periods and then felt we needed to be moving in a fifth period today about the hero's journey. So there's two prehistory periods and two historical periods and then where we are today. So he said that in prehistory you had hunting and gathering time, you know, where people were still mobile in different tribes and so on. And during that time, he called that the way of the animal powers. So you had hunting and gathering, and it was Paleolithic Old Stone Age. And so that, you know, and divinity was portrayed differently in each of these periods too, but you had the earth mother and nature spirits and everything, and people living in mobile bands and tribes and so on. And then the very beginning of agriculture, he called that new age the way of the seeded earth. And this is where people realized they could plant a seed and stay in one location. They didn't have to be mobile bands anymore. And then they could start little villages to live in and so on. And then divinity was interestingly portrayed as the goddess, because there was a parallel between the fertility, the earth bringing forth life when you plant a seed, and the fertility of the woman giving birth. So then they portrayed divinity as the goddess, which is, you know, interesting. And then the third period is when history has begun, where you start to have a, you know, written record. In this period, he called the way of the celestial powers. And this was really about the rise of ancient civilizations and with it empires and so on, and some of the great religions arose and so on. But during that period, you know, there's lots of ancient civilizations around the world, and ancient China, ancient India, ancient Egypt, ancient Middle East, you know, ancient Sumeria. There's all different kinds of places where you did have ancient civilizations. And what's interesting is they tended to portray divinity as male, as the divine union of male and female. So, but they also, things became much more advanced more quickly during that period, because you got the beginning of writing, you got astronomy, looking up at the stars, you got much more sophisticated architecture, but you also got people conquering other people and making them into slaves, which wasn't so good, but you did have a sense of more balance between the male and female principles in terms of how they portrayed divinity. And then you get the modern period. And what Joseph Campbell said is that the unfortunate thing is, in the modern period, we got so into science, and which I'm, by the way, not anti-science at all. I read scientific stuff all the time. But what he's trying to say is there's more than one type of truth, and one type of truth is scientific factual evidence, you know, and that's also important. But the type of truth he's talking about here is mythology, where there's a different kind of archetypal truth that comes from stories, where when you hear these stories, they can, and you can relate to them with your own life, then you can get some wisdom from them that can help guide you on your life's journey, basically. So he said the problem of our modern world is we got so into, you know, science and the rational that we lost touch with the power of mythology in our lives. And he felt that we needed to somehow bring that back into a kind of postmodern period, where we would recognize that power in our myths of mythology, in our films, our art, our lives, et cetera. So a version of that might be divinity portrayed as the divine union of male and female and so on. But anyway, the main point is, you know, there is something to all this power of stories. Like, why do people go to movies, right? They go because there's some underlying story that they can, you know, get wrapped up in and maybe learn something from, and or maybe just have entertainment, you know. But the idea is there can be some deeper level going on there as well. Yeah, so it's interesting. So you have these different historical periods as well. So in each of those periods, you'd have the same underlying stages of the hero's journey you could look at, but you'd portray them differently in each era because of the, you know, period that you were in. So then a few more things here quickly. Is this sound like it makes sense to you?
Absolutely, sure.
Rob? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the traditional hero is portrayed as the warrior, you know, who goes out to conquer, but also to battle for some noble cause, you know. But, you know, going to war. So the problem is now we live in the nuclear age, and so we need to find other kinds of hero figures besides let's just all go to war, you know, and fight each other, which is going to end up blowing up the planet and nobody will be left. So so we have to find many different types of hero figures. So some different ones. I mean, I think you're a hero anytime you go off into the unknown to learn new things in any area of life, you know, and be tested and be willing to explore, you know, the new things that you hadn't before and so on. So, you know, you can have many practitioners of nonviolence like Mahatma Gandhi and many others who followed in his footsteps, Martin Luther King, Cesar Chavez, Desmond Tutu, the Dalai Lama, many others. And then any people who are great inventors or scientists who are driven by some inner desire to find some truth, something new scientifically, you know, or apply it in some new technology, that's a different form of fear or strain. Or people who are great humanitarians who try to make the world a better place. Or people who battle poverty or injustice or suffering in the world. Or, you know, I think anytime people, you know, can commit their life to something beyond just themselves, you know, then they start to go on the hero's journey in a way, and, you know, to make some difference in the world. And I think sometimes if you commit your life to something beyond yourself, you also, the universe comes back somehow and supports you in ways that you couldn't always figure out if you wanted to yourself. And just from that energy of the commitment that you make. And then there's spiritual warriors, and there's a lot of people doing interfaith, intercultural stuff, bringing people together from different backgrounds today. I mean, all those are people are trying to work somehow to make the world a little better place. So there's also this book by Carol Pearson. She wrote two books about trying to expand to different types of heroes beyond just the warrior, you know. I mean, you can be a warrior for lots of good things, too, not just, you know, to go to battle. But you can go to right. battle to master your inner self, or you can go to battle to deal with injustice in the world, you know, lots of things. But one of her books was called The Hero Within with Six Archetypes, and then she had another one, Awakening the Hero, Heroes Within with 12 Archetypes. And then there's a couple, there's one more thing, I'm just looking here at the time. There's also interesting issues about the hero's journey for men and women. Now, this five-stage model, you know, sometimes I think it was applied a bit more to men than women, but it, you know, the five-stage model can be applied to anybody, as far as I can tell. You know, there's no reason it can't, but there may be some of the ways that you know, I don't want to oversimplify this. So there was a couple books by someone named Robert Johnson, who's a Jungian psychoanalyst, and he has a book, He and She, which people were kind of interested in some differences maybe in hero's journey for men and women. That might be a way to explore that. But there was also interesting differences over time in male-female relationships and or relationships in general. Like traditionally you had male-female roles. Society told you how to behave if you were a man or how to behave if you were a woman, and you'd have arranged marriages and so on, right? And so it was all like really family to family and things like that. And then in the Middle Ages, you've got something called unrequited love, where, you know, you see like in King Arthur's time too, you had this idea that you would fall in love with somebody that was, you couldn't actually marry them, but have an unrequited love for them. and then eventually that led to people now, you know, choosing to find their own partners and so on. So, and today I think the hero's journey is it's a whole other question one could look at about the hero's journey for men and women, but it can be part of anybody's life. And so I think I just wanted to, you know, it's a nice model, and we're looking at different films, you know, like, as I said, Star Wars, but you could look at Harry Potter. What were the other ones we mentioned that I mentioned? There's a lot of Hollywood films that are based partly on the hero having to go off in the unknown and be tested and so on. And I think it's a model for anybody to find some wisdom in their life, you know, to be willing to jump into the unknown a bit, you know, and do something new and have some growth in the process. So that's the hero's journey. But, it, you know, and I would really strongly recommend if anyone can get hold of it, it's probably on YouTube, but, you know, that whole six-part series of the interviews of Joseph Campbell by Bill Moyers. Because Joseph Campbell, when he talked about the hero's journey, was very contagious, you know, and he just had so many people that watched that program when it was on years ago and who got inspired by it and felt that it was a pretty cool thing. So, yeah, I would recommend it to anybody. I don't know if we have a little bit of time. Anybody
we'll have
any
about,
questions?
We have about 5 minutes left on today's show. Now, So how did you get into
it? Yeah. How did I get interested in it?
Yeah.
I get interested in way too many things for my own good. I don't know. I've been interested in inner outer stuff for a long time. You know, this sort of dialectic between your life and the world and your inner life and transformation and you know, your own inner journeys. And so I think it was, you know, and at the time when this was on public television, it was very popular. A lot of people were watching it, including myself. And then I went to some workshops about it and, you know, it just made sense, I think, and found it inspiring. You know, and when I was teaching all these years too, I would share it with students so they could try to see how this might relate to their own lives, you know. What are some examples? Anybody listening, you know, could look at, like, what are any examples in your own life where, you know, maybe you've done something for a long time and you're kind of antsy for something new, and then you, you know, maybe can find some teacher, somebody mentoring you to help you, and then you're willing to jump into the unknown a bit and so that you can learn something new and then come back and have grown as a person by doing that. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, it seems to, you always just keep doing the same thing forever. You know, at some point you want some growth in your life, right?
Of course. So,
yeah.
No, absolutely.
But the main thing I think about growth is, you know, when you go out on an outer adventure, there's always an inner adventure that you're going through as part of it. You know, so that's not like they're separate from each other. And that's really what it's probably all about. You have the external journey so that you can also grow on the inside. And but people do this in all different types of ways in their own life. And even, you know, they can do small little journeys and then they can do bigger ones, you know. And then the question is always like, what did you learn from that journey, right, that made you more than what you were before as a person, right? And,
absolutely, yeah. Could not agree more with that.
Yeah. I mean, in Star Wars, you had it was very much good versus evil, you know, but it portrayed. And then you had, you know, you had Luke Skywalker having to confront Darth Vader, right? Which is like and then behind him was the evil emperor, right? And so it was like the really true, you know, good and evil portrayed.
Right.
So sometimes things aren't, you know, there's also a lot of our everyday life has a lot of gray areas, I would say, you know, everything isn't quite so black and white usually. But anyway, that film, those films had a big impact, Star Wars. The first three, the next three that were the prequel weren't quite as popular, you know, as the first three.
Right.
And then, yeah. But, I think they had a profound impact. And I think, you know, you can see how they're how this hero's journey is portrayed in those films. Yeah.
Sure. Well, right, Linda, we have to actually wrap up today's show already. We flew through the half hour as usual.
Right.
Why don't you let everyone know the best ways to reach out to you quickly, and we will see you again next Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right, and next time we're going to talk about the more far-out topic, are we alone in the universe? Or is the universe populated with life? So that should be a good one.
Very cool.
And the website that I have is www.lindagroff, and it's G like George, R Robert, O F F like Frank, .net. And there's all these interviews are supposed to be up there. Sometimes they're there, sometimes it's not there. But we're trying to get them all up and be properly labeled so everybody can look at any of them if they're interested in. For people, if they want to email me, my email is evolvingworlds@gmail.com. So people, and in my resume and how to contact me is also on the website, the www.lindagroff.net. Okay. So
all right. Perfect.
It's all there.
Well, thank you again, Linda, for coming on tonight. Everyone, please. You know, check out lindagroff.net if you can. And, of course, you know, always fascinating to have you on the show. So thank you, Linda. Have a great week, and we'll speak to you again next Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m.
Okay, great. Take care, everybody. Okay.
All right. All right. Everyone, bye-bye. Here at CMC Radio, thanks for listening.
Okay. Bye.